that's inside of you and inside of me. The other one, the last one last week was, I believe, was Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah my shepherd. And we read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that means security for the believer, freedom from the fear of death and of hell. He is my shepherd because He's leading me and guiding me, that I don't have to fear death anymore. And I don't have to fear hell, do I? And neither do you. So Jesus is the standard. He's the banner, and He's also our shepherd. Then we practiced praying that part of the pattern of the Lord's Prayer as we closed out last week. And so together tonight we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Are you ready? We've been saying it for 6 weeks every week. And so Shirley, keep me on track, all right? I got it all last week, didn't I? Are you ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A powerful prayer. You know, just to read that prayer, just pray that prayer. I've prayed it at funeral services. I've prayed it and read it and prayed it at revival services. I pray it during my regular life. There's power in that. And there's even more power that we discover as we break it down and see that it's a pattern for prayer. Amen? And so up to this point, we've been talking about approaching God's names and appropriating God's promises. But now we're going to go into the section of the Lord's Prayer that teaches us how to set priorities in prayer. So priorities in prayer. And first of all, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Do you want God's kingdom and God's rule in your life? How many of you really want His rule in your life? In your family? See, I want God not only to rule my life, my wife's life, my children, my grandchildren. I want my children and grandchildren to know God the way that I know Him and even know Him maybe better than I know Him. Don't you desire that for yours, for those that you love? I want to go to the book, and remember, we're still using the book, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour by Larry Lee. And this is where a lot of our teaching is coming from, lines right up with Scripture and helping us to really get into the presence of God in prayer. And I want to go to page 81 in the book talking about God's kingdom in you and in your family. God's kingdom in you and in your family. Give me just a second. Well, here it is. Let's see. Here it is right here. Sorry. The Makilta, an ancient manuscript that includes a commentary on most of the book of Exodus, includes this parable. A man came to a province and asked the people if he could reign over them. They said, "What good have you done for us? Why should we accept your reign?" In response, the man built them a wall. He brought them water. He fought battles for them. Then he asked the question, "May I reign over you?" They responded this time, "Yes, yes." The parable continues. Thus it is with the omnipresent, and there's only one that's omnipresent. He redeemed Israel from Egypt. He parted the sea for them. He brought them manna. He provided them with a well. He sent them quail to eat. He fought the battle of Amalek for them. He said to them, "May I reign over you?" They replied, "Yes, yes." And the parable stops there. But its application does not. Our Father God comes to us and asks, "May I reign over you?" And that's really what He wants to do, is reign in your life and in mine, doesn't He? Sometimes our reply is, "Who are you And what good have you done for us that we should accept your reign? God need not reply, yet out of love he does. And here's what he says, I am your Father, the Creator God, who so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He shed his blood. His shed blood brought you righteousness and sanctification, peace and access into my presence. With the stripes on his back, you were healed and made whole. He has redeemed you from the curse of falling short. He sees your needs ahead of time and makes provision for them. He is your banner who goes into battle before you and breaks open the way. You do not have to fear death or hell because he's the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to earth. Then once more God asked, may I reign over you? See, God reigns over us when we obey him, accept his rule and authority in our lives, and become active in Jesus' kingdom movement to defeat evil, to redeem sinners and to bring mankind to the blessings of God's reigns. This is essentially what we are earnestly desiring when we declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are submitting to God and calling upon him to perform his will on earth. And if there's anything that you and I need, is his will on earth, in your life, in mine, in my children, in all of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I want you to notice the verbs in those two statements. Thy kingdom what? Come. And what's the other one? Be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In the Greek, the verbs are at the beginning of these two statements. So notice the difference. Come, kingdom of God. The verb comes first. In the Greek. Notice, be done, will of God. Exclamation mark. Totally different picture, isn't it? Come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God. This verse, in this wording, is symbolic of our putting our foot down. Have you ever had to put your foot down concerning anything? You ever had to put your foot down concerning your children? Everybody's had children? And finally you had enough. You put your foot down, and boy, they knew when you put it down. They knew because of the way you spoke. And we need to put our foot down when it comes to prayer. Standing in for our families and our children and for the needs of ourselves and for others. Instead of saying out of weakness, oh Jesus, please help me. We should be declaring the promises of God when we pray. Everybody that heard that, say amen. Amen? We should be declaring the promises of God when we pray. Now, we also need to admit, there have been times when we were so down, so struggling, that all we could say was, God, please help me. Anybody been there besides me? God, please help me. I've been there, done that. Hate to tell you how close ago it was. But that's not where we should live, is it? That's not where we need to live. We must choose to stand in victory and put our foot down when we pray. We must declare that God's will be done and that his kingdom shall come. That's really what Jesus tried to teach the disciples and what he's trying to teach us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We need to put our foot down spiritually. We need to put our foot down in prayer. What is the will of God? Now I want you to ponder that question for a moment. What is the will of God? Of course, in essence, it's right here. But what is the will of God? Well, let's just go to Romans chapter 14 and 17. Let me ask you this as you turn there. Does God have a daily will for our lives? How many believe he has a daily will? not just a will of what He wants us to do next week or down the road, but every day. Now let's go to Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, and that sometimes we're so caught up in eating and drinking and just enjoying those things, the most important slips. He says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In essence, this is the kingdom of God, isn't it? The kingdom of God is. See, God's priorities must be established in our lives. Righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit. So His priorities, these are priorities that need to be established. If not, our Christian lives will be like the tail wagging the dog. Wouldn't it? You ever heard of getting the cart before the horse? And see, without learning to declare God's word and without learning to pray His will, it's like the tail wagging the dog. And a lot of times we struggle through a lot of our Christian life because we're just not simply praying what the Scripture says to pray. Amen? And a lot of times things are off or out of kilter. Anybody know what that means? Out of kilter? Off balance? I thought about coming in here tonight and see how many would notice I was going to kind of button this way. You know how you button your shirt sometime and you got a button, you got a sticking up here. Anybody ever button your shirt or blouse or whatever and you get in and you're in town or something and you look in a mirror and you see it's all crooked? Anybody ever done that besides me? See? Well, that's the way it is too. If we're not careful, our lives are out of kilter because of not praying what God would have us to pray. Thy kingdom come. So what is the kingdom of God again? Righteousness? Righteousness, peace, joy, in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real and alive in our hearts, or we couldn't be saved. So that righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit that God puts within us as we accept Christ as our Savior. The kingdom of God is for who? Us? I always look at James when I say that. It's us. Who? Me. My family. The kingdom of God is for me, for my family, for you. God's will is for who? It's for me. Say me. Say my family. I turn to the person beside and say, for you as well. Say, the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, how do we know what should come first in our day? Who should come first in our day? One of my favorite scriptures since I accepted the Lord at age 12 has been Matthew 6:33. What's it say? Say it with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes we're so caught up with things, we don't seek Him. We seek things. But He said if we seek Him first, He'll take care of the things. Amen? And it's all right to pray over your things, the things you possess, and we need to, don't we? But we need to seek Him first. So if He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then what should be our main priority of the day? Seeking Him first. Amen? Seeking Him first. There are several scriptures, I didn't write them down, that you can go and find, particularly in the Old Testament, about early will I seek thee. There's something too, being able to seek the Lord before the day gets going. Because sometimes after the day gets going, it's hard to get back to where we can seek Him. Will anybody admit that besides me? See, there's something to that. Now, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. So he's still talking about seeking Him. He's still talking about coming to Him. He's still talking about pursuing Him. God wants to open some doors for you, doesn't He? And for me. God wants to answer your prayers, doesn't He? He wants to meet your needs and mine, doesn't He? And sometimes when those things are not happening, it's because we're not seeking, knocking, or asking. Now God blesses us in a lot of ways without asking, just because we're serving Him, doesn't He? And you look back behind you and you see a trail of blessings that you didn't even ask for. But remember, He also says you have not because you ask not. So, prayer. Seek, not ask. Seek first before everything else, God's kingdom. Seek His kingdom before everything else. Ordering your time priorities is important. I had my day planned pretty good today. I was really proud of myself. I mean, I was so excited, boy. I was back in prayer at 9:30 for about an hour, then jumped in to work on the message to finish up for the day. Got through a few hours earlier than I normally do. Boy, I got so excited. I came in to type the notes for the PowerPoint, and everything started happening. I still got the major part done that I needed to bring to you tonight. I got to pray with a few people, got a few disappointing things shared with me today. After I got through with the message, and my day just went. And if I hadn't have spent the time early, I'd have been pushing it to be ready by 7 o'clock tonight. Can anybody relate to that? So we have to establish time priorities, and that's difficult if you're a busy person, but we have to do it. We must also establish prayer priorities as well. He says, when you pray. He didn't say if. So God expects us to pray. He says, when you fast. So He expects us to fast. He didn't say if you fast. Amen? So when you pray, you must declare God's kingdom and His will to be done in your life and in four major areas. Yourself. Anybody here can say to yourself, self, I need help? Anybody say, self, I need to grow? Anybody need to say to the Lord every day, I need your help? Self, I need God's help? See, we have to establish prayer priorities. First of all, it has to be, if we can't pray for ourselves, if we don't get hold of God for, if I don't get hold of God for me, how can I get hold of God for you? That's right. Brother Bracken, that's being selfish. No, it's not. It's the line of priority that has to take place. Because if I don't take care of me and my relationship with God, if I don't cry out to Him about the things that need to change in my life, if I don't seek God for myself, it's going to be hard for me to seek God for you. So it's got to start with, first of all, self. Secondly, your family. Remember, it's God, it's you, it's your family. We need to reach the world, but not at the expense of our families. Matter of fact, I was debating whether to read this or not, but I think I will. I think I will. Just a moment. Yourself, your family, your church, and your nation. Those are the four priorities that you're praying for down here. God's already established His kingdom in heaven. He's establishing His kingdom on earth through His people. There's coming a time the New Jerusalem will come down and He will definitely establish the kingdom then. Amen? Let's go to James chapter 3. And while you're going there, Well, I'll find it again in a minute. James chapter 3 and verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, as the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, wherever he decides to go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What is it you have on the sign out there, Brother Gary? Tongues of fire doesn't mean gossip. Amen? Tongues of fire doesn't mean gossip. Isn't that what it says? Fits right in here tonight. The tongue is a powerful thing. What we speak has great power. You can speak things that bring comfort, encouragement, and healing to people. Or you can speak things that can discourage, defeat, and even destroy sometimes. There's power in your mouth. There's power in my mouth. Proverbs says what life and death are in the power of the tongue. So right here is life and death. And sometimes it's not always the devil that gets us down. Our own tongue gets us down. I can speak from experience. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. So this tongue is a powerful thing. It's very important when it comes to prayer. Isn't it? You believe what I'm telling you in James is true and what Proverbs says is true? Then if so, we have to realize there's power with this same tongue in prayer. Okay? So, when the tongue agrees with the Spirit of God, anybody ever agreed with the Spirit? Anybody ever grieved the Spirit? See? When the tongue agrees with the Spirit of God and declares with sincerity and faith, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we declare that in faith, the course of life is set in motion. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. That's why it's important to pray, and preferably at the beginning of the day. Because we begin to set things in motion for that day by the way we pray. That's what James 3 said. Lord, anybody feel convicted besides me? Anybody need to do better besides Jason? So every day as you pray, declare that God's kingdom shall come, that His will shall be done in yourself. Your family, your church, your nation, yourself. I think in Sunday school last Sunday, the adult class, we were talking about prayer, and that the more we pray, we find ourselves praying for others more than we do for ourselves. And that's really true. Because we pick up the heart of God, His heart becomes our heart. And we begin to care about more others' welfare more than we do our own. But that doesn't take away the necessity of praying for self. Amen? So, James chapter 5 and 16. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. He said the kingdom of God is righteousness. So if we're righteous, if we're made right with God, walking in relationship with Him, and we're clothed in the righteousness of God that we've been talking about some on Wednesday night, then when you pray, even for yourself, there's power. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, I mean, things begin to shake and things begin to move because of the way you pray.
NIV says it's powerful and effective.
Powerful and effective. Yes. It does. And I think one time when I was studying this and preached it right here, I think it's when you get down to prayer and your prayer is almost white hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
You remember that sometime in years past? And we pray fervently, and it's like white hot, boy. It's getting through. If there's anything we want to do in prayer, it's get through. Get through to God. People don't pray long enough in the altar anymore to get through to anything. We ask people to come and pray, and they stay 5 minutes, and they're done, and wonder why they struggle all week long. I'm telling you the truth. Chap me down tonight. Amen? Now, praise the Lord. Let me read to you. Your family, well, yourself, first of all. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, invite Jesus to assume his rightful place on the throne of your heart and to rule your spirit, your soul, and your body. Then pray over the particular concerns in which you will be involved throughout the day. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you with ability, efficiency, and might. In the words of Jude, he says, build yourself up, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher by praying in the Holy Spirit, the Amplified Bible. Higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Stay before the Lord until the course of your day is set and the Spirit of God is functioning in you. This is vitally important. For if Jesus is not Lord in you, He'll not be Lord in your second priority, your family. So if He's not Lord in your life, how'd you expect Him to be Lord in your wife, your husband, your children? Sobering thought. So pray for yourself. Get hold of God for you, for what He has for that day. And then your family. Then your family. If you're married, anybody married? Anybody like to be? Oh, okay. If you're married, did you raise your hand? Yeah, okay, we'll make sure. All right. I just want to know how to pray, David, okay? I just want to know how to pray. All right. If you're married, pray for your mate. Pray that righteousness, peace, and joy will rule in your mate's life. Make the declaration of faith. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray over the deeds of your wife or your husband until the Spirit releases you to move on in prayer. A lot of times I walk the floor in here, and when I'm praying for my wife, I say, God, I thank you for your kingdom coming to Joan today. Thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy being hers. Pray over your wives. Pray over your spouse. It's important because if you lose your own house, your work for the house of God will be greatly hindered. And I realize, as a pastor and raising children, sometimes no matter what you do, they stray. But you can't cease to live for the Lord and to pray because your children go a different way. If you will stay the course, they'll come back to Him. Listen to this. A young evangelist on the verge of losing his wife seemed more concerned about his reputation and the revival meetings he had scheduled than in wooing his wife and seeing their marriage restored. As he knelt to pray about the great ministry he wanted to do for God, the Lord put a piercing question to his young servant. What makes you think I want to entrust my bride to you when you won't even take care of your own? Now I'm telling you, there's people in ministry that's cared more about preaching and teaching and ministry than they have about their spouse. I served on the Presbytery board for years. We disciplined a lot of ministers. They were more interested in ministry than preserving their marriage. And I've heard Brother Kelly say more than once, get your marriage straight, then we'll help you in ministry. That applies to pastoral leadership. Don't you think it applies to you and to me? So how do you pray for your family? If you have children, declare, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," in each of their lives. Make specific petitions. Listen to what the Spirit of God speaks to you regarding your children. This pattern, as we pray, will help us get started. You'll see that over time. And then the Holy Spirit's just going to lead you from that pattern into areas and praying for your wife, your husband, your children in ways you've never dreamed. The Holy Spirit will get involved in your praying because you're praying according to the pattern and according to the Word. If you believe that, say amen this evening. Hallelujah. Petition the Lord to lay other family members on your heart. There's times I pray for my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I got 2 great-grandchildren. And then I start praying for aunts and uncles, sisters, and their family. And I tell you, if you start praying for all these people, you'll be praying a long time. Now, sometimes you might, when you're praying according to this pattern, when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, sometimes you might get hung up on one person or one concern as you pray. And that's okay, because sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. So you pray until you have the release of the Holy Spirit over that family member, that friend, over that husband or wife. There may be times when you pray, as we learn this entire pattern of prayer, that you're unable to get through the entire prayer within an hour. But that's okay. Later you can pick up where you dropped, where you stopped, and get back into prayer again. So don't beat yourself over the head if you get stuck on one thing. Sometimes God will stick you on one thing. Okay? I've not preached in the dark before, but I might could. Learn to pray the price for your family. Learn to pray the price for what you and your family need. There's some parents here that have cried a lot of tears in prayer over children. Some of us are still crying some tears over our children in prayer. Don't stop now. Bye. Praise the Lord. Call them by name. Amen. That's wonderful. That's what we need to do. God is wanting to reign in your life. So what do you need to say? Yes, yes, yes. He wants to reign, not like a dictator, but as Lord to lead, to guide, provide, empower, sustain. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." He didn't say fight the good fight if you feel like it. Because sometimes we don't feel like it. If we go by how we feel, there'll be a lot of times we'll be discouraged. Lord, fight the good fight of faith in prayer. I tell you, prayer is really a battlefield. If you get down to praying, it becomes a battlefield.
Spank me, I would do it. Because okay. I love my mother and I respect her.
That's good. That's good. And I might get to help her.
Huh? Wait a minute.
That's respect for your parents. Now I want us to come back to the scripture. I want to really get the gist of this scripture. I don't want us to get off track here. I want us to come back to this verse. Fight the good fight of faith. You think you're going to live this Christian life without a fight? He said, it's a good fight. What kind of fight's a good fight? It's the one you win. Are there any winners in the house today? See? So he says, fight the good fight. And that fits with this teaching on prayer. Because in prayer, we fight the enemy. It's spiritual battle is taking place. Fight the good fight of faith. And not because you feel like it or don't feel like it, you just have to do it. You and your family are Satan's prey. You have to learn to pray daily with authority, declaring God's word over you and over them. So let's shift now about your church. This is the third priority in prayer. It was you, yourself, your family, now your church. Notice your sheet under number 3. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice it says, talking about the church, to pray for your pastor, the leadership, for the faithfulness of the people, and for harvest of souls. For harvest of souls. Your church. Matter of fact, let's look at, what is that, number B? Under 3? Let's just say it out, read it all out loud together there. See, your church, pastor, leadership, faithfulness of people, harvest of souls. So as you pray over your church, I appreciate you praying for me. Some of you told me recently, Brother Bracken, I've prayed for you a long time. I didn't realize, and Judy told me when I was so sick and struggling with my health for so long, she told me how she prayed for me. Others of you prayed for me when I was struggling in my health. And you don't know how much I appreciate that. Because your prayers and the Spirit and power of God has seen me through and brought some answers and brought healing to me through surgeries and through the power of God. And you know what? I give Him the glory, and I say thank you too. Hallelujah. So pray for your church. Now I want to read just a little bit to you as well from Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? When you pray for the pastor, ask God to anoint him, to speak to him and direct him. Petition the Lord to give your pastor a shepherd's heart, to impart wisdom to him as he spends time in the Word and in prayer. Ask God to make him a pure channel through which the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit can flow. Pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leadership. When you pray for the leadership, say their name in prayer. As you pray for them one by one, the Holy Spirit often will show you specific needs. Pray for the people in your church who are ministering in ways which touch your own life directly. Pray that the Lord will make various groups and organizations in the church healthy. Ask the Lord to show them how to breathe in through fellowship and out through evangelism. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the workers in this church. And then pray, what about faithfulness? For the faithfulness of the people. Pray that the people of the church will be faithful to their families, to the vision that God has given your church and to Jesus. And treat the Holy Spirit to plant them in the house of the Lord so they'll bring forth fruit as soul winners and intercessors. Pray for the faithfulness of the people, that they will be faithful in bringing their tithes and their offerings into the storehouse, that they'll serve God as He deserves to be served. Pray for your church. Pray for the faithfulness of the people. Pray over the harvest. Over the years, you've heard me pray. I've taught the Lord's Prayer before, but using the video. Some of you remember Larry Lee did the teaching on the video, and then we practiced it. Then we show some more video, and then we practice it. This time, I'm teaching it instead of using the video. But in the past, you've heard me pray and over the years and speak to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And we've done that in our services. We've done that in some of our Wednesday morning prayer times, haven't we? So I want to read a scripture to you. Isaiah 43:5-7 says, "Fear not, I am with thee." That alone makes you feel good. Amen. Sister Gore, you should have shouted on that one. I was waiting on you. "Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. I'll say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." Do you know God created everybody for His glory? Everybody's not bringing glory to His name, but He created every one of us for His glory. And so when you're praying when you're praying over your church, and you're praying for the harvest, And I turned to the north. North, I command you, prince over the north, over the cities and areas of the north, release the souls of men and women, boys and girls and teens that are to be brought into the kingdom of God and be a part of this fellowship. Release them in Jesus' name. And you do the same thing with the south and the east and the west. Of course, if you go too far east, we're talking all the way over to Europe. And God could bring them from there. Can you say amen? He brought peaches from New York, and if he can bring her from New York, he can bring them from anywhere. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, speak to the north, south, east, and west. And then your nation, a fourth priority in prayer. Your nation. Your fourth priority is your nation. Pray that the president will have the wisdom of God, that spiritual leaders will walk in wisdom. People be people of prayer and be kept by the power of God. Pray specifically, naming your city, state, and national leaders. Intercede for the United States, for we definitely need revival. Pray over your nation. So at this point, you'll have to pray through the first two topics. You have prayed through the first two topics in Christ's model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's four remaining parts of that prayer. Now, I'm going to read from here and then we're going to draw to a close. Perhaps you now realize how simple it is to pray an hour. You're learning how to pray for multitudes of things that once caused you fear or worry or frustration. Now, instead of thinking, how can I ever pray an entire hour? You may be wondering, how can I ever get through in only 1 hour? And that's really where we need to get to in our prayer lives. Lord, I got to go to work and I can't keep praying. But God, I'm coming back. Because you can't get it all in. And I got a feeling as we pray according to the pattern of the Lord's Prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be difficult in our prayer life as it develops to finish in an hour. Now, you know what's going to happen to God's people? You know what happens to God's people when we've gone to 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day to an hour or more? You know what's going to happen in your spiritual life? You're going to grow. You know what's going to happen in this church? It's going to grow. You know what's going to happen in the world? We're going to see lost people, more lost people brought into the kingdom. Yes. Simply because of this time that we spend with God. Now, and also, I don't want to skip over that. Also, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray that our president, our sitting president, and any that follow him will favor Jerusalem, favor Israel. Because if they don't, and they lead us in a way away from them, we're going to be in trouble. Those that curse Israel, God will curse. Those that bless Israel, God will bless. Amen? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem when you pray. Now, next time we'll cover the portion of the Lord's Prayer that deals with provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And with forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that means getting along with everybody. Do you realize the Lord's Prayer teaches us that? Getting along with everybody. Well, that's going to be a part of the prayer when we come, of our teaching when we get back. So will you stand with me this evening? And let's just take number 3. We're not going to try to go back at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer tonight. Let's just pretend for a minute that we've already prayed our Father which art in heaven. We've thanked him because of the privilege we have to call him Father. We call him Father through the virtue of the blood of Jesus. Let's just pretend that we've just got through praying all those names, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nissi, all the names, and thanking God for the benefits that come with that. And now we're down here to thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, say it with me, righteousness, peace, joy, in the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, Brother Larry, come out here with me for just a minute. I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to have you come up here. Brother Eddie, come up here with him. And I want you to do it seriously for me. All right? Come up here. He's going to pray for you. This is Eddie Deal. You know Eddie Deal? I want you to lay your hands on him, and I want you to pray him for the kingdom of God to come into his life, for righteous joy and peace. Will you start doing that? I want you to pray for righteous joy and peace in Eddie's life right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary, I want you to pray that over Eloise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Eloise's life. Righteousness, joy, and peace. And take your time to pray it. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Father, thank you for righteousness, joy, and peace in my life. Thank you that I'm clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made righteous in your sight through Jesus. And I thank you for righteousness and joy and peace in my life today. I thank you today, God, that I have peace with you and I have the peace of God. Lord, I thank you I have peace because I walk with you and I know you and you know me. God, thank you for the peace you've given me. And Lord, I thank you for joy. Lord, your word says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And God, I thank you for the joy of the Lord that's mine. God, thank you for moving in my life today. And now, God, I pray for my wife, God. I pray for righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost for her. God, I thank you for joy just flooding her soul. I thank you, God, for peace reigning in her heart. And God, I thank you for keeping her clothed with your righteousness this evening. Lord, I praise you for it today. God, I pray over my children tonight, God. Thank you for my sons and my daughters. Lord, thank you that the Holy Spirit's hand is upon their lives. Thank you, God, for those that have strayed coming back to Jesus. Send the Holy Ghost after him. God, I pray righteousness, joy, and peace over all my children. Jeff, Charles, Chad, Pam, Carla. God, I pray over them today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in their lives. Invade their house, Lord, their spouses, their children. As you pray in your own prayer, call them by name. Now pray over your church. Pray over your church. Hey, Martha, pray it.
Lord God, we pray for our pastor tonight, God.
Thank you.
Lord, we just pray for your power and the anointing of God.
Yes,
Lord. To just flow even further into his life, God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray, God, that the ministry, God, will reach and will touch hundreds of people, God.
God,
we just pray that you would just anoint his life today. God, we just continue to pray for his health tonight, God. Lord, that the enemy cannot destroy God. Lord, in you, he is built up to the power and the anointing of God. And God, through him, Lord, God, this church will be led into the direction that you would have it to go tonight, God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, that his life will just be manifested in you.
Oh, God. Now I want you to just start praying out loud over the rest of these other things, your leadership, faithfulness to the people, the harvest. Just go ahead and pray it right now, right where you are. Come on, pray for your leadership today in this church. Pray for the faithfulness of the people. Pray over the harvest of the souls that are waiting to be brought into the kingdom of God. You've got your sheet there. You've got a good guide to go by. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise, oh God. Oh, my Father, thank you for moving upon the leadership. Thank you for righteousness, joy, and peace coming to each one of them's life, God. Lord, I thank you for an anointing upon them to do what you've called them to do. Bless their families, oh God, their children, their spouses, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation of the people, Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people to serve you daily, to live the life daily before you and before the world. Thank you for faithfulness to witness, God. Thank you for faithfulness to tithe and to give offerings, Lord, and to bless others even financially. God, thank you for the faithfulness of the people. I praise you for it today, God. Oh, hallelujah.